Hi, everyone. This is Gary welcoming you to the LL Research Radio program In the Now, Q&A with Carla and crew. Today is Tuesday, January 14th, 2013. Carla L. Ruckert is an author, mystic seeker, and primary channel for LL Research. The crew in the title refers to those of us at the LL Center, beginning with Jim McCarty, Carla's husband, scribe for the Raw Contact, and president of LL Research. Austin and I, devoted seekers of the Law of One, manage LL from the home office. LL Research is a nonprofit organization dedicated to freely sharing spiritually oriented information and fostering community, and towards this end has two websites, the archive website, llresearch.org, and the community website, bringforth.org. Together, they offer over 1,300 channeling transcripts, 11 publications, the Law of One material, interviews, speeches, forums, blogs, chat rooms, and some more. We will be discussing questions that come from you. If you would like to ask us a question live on the air, please call 646-595-2294 and press the 1 key when prompted. If interested in submitting a question when we're not on air, please visit our show's webpage at blogtalkradio.com/LLResearch. When submitting questions, please remember that this is a Law of One Q&A. Try to keep your questions as spiritually oriented as possible. Again, I'm Gary, and we're talking with Carla L. Ruckert and the home crew of LL Research. Everybody on board and ready to go?
Ready.
We are hanging right in there.
I'm ready to go.
All right. We will start with an opening riff that comes from an October 27, 2007 channeling with Quo. Quo says, "You ask this day about the indigo and the violet rays, or energy centers of the energy body. Indeed, this is a very deep, almost bottomless subject, and we are happy to share our thoughts on this subject. This instrument is in the process of looking for the keys to these two energy centers in that she wishes to retain the detailed discussion of these higher energy centers for another volume of this series that is being written." Quo here is referring to the Living the Law of One 101 series. "Therefore, there is the desire to move to the heart of the higher rays, and in particular the indigo and the violet rays. The very heart of the function of these two rays has to do with who entities in third density are when they have been able to penetrate the surface of their lives and to move into the essence of their being. You could consider yourself as a focal point or an interface in this regard. You have a physical body and a physical mind, which ground you, more or less, into the world of the physical, third density, consensus reality that you enjoy, and in which you have your experiences and do your learning. Within you also is the one infinite creator. Every cell of your body and every vibration of your thoughts lives the one infinite creator. Yet in terms of process, there is that sensation of needing to move from the outer world through the doorway into the inner world. Basically, you as entities are a living doorway, a living gate, an interface so that the one infinite creator, in a far less distorted form than you, can appreciate with your senses, can move in power into your life. Those known as Ra have described this function as being the gateway to intelligent infinity. In order to approach this gateway, much work has already been done, for it is impossible to enter the gateway of Indigo Ray until the entity has gathered the entirety and the wholeness of its integrated self into the heart and has done the work of forgiving and falling in love with this integrated self with its many perceived faults."
Thank you. What is a human being? Question. There are so many ways to answer the question, and they take a few pot shots just in these few paragraphs. The one that I liked best is that we are a place where the ordinary consensus everyday reality meets infinity. Or to put it in another way, where space-time meets time-space. As we work on our selves, as we try to become better at being an integrative whole, so that we can be both in space-time and in time-space. Generally, it is felt that first of all, you work on space-time, and then you work on time-space. In other words, you work on how you feel about yourself, how you feel about sex, how you feel about personal relationships and relationships within the family, within the work, within teams, and so forth. When you've finished making all of those ways of looking at yourself smooth out, so that you're satisfied for the moment with how far you've come in being a human being according to the smoothing out of those chakras, the lower three. You tumble into the open heart. And the only way to get the heart open is to open up the lower three chakras. It doesn't necessarily mean that you solved all of the problems of your three lower rays. It means that yourself in those three lower rays, gentle enough to be sweet with yourself, to love yourself, to appreciate yourself, when you've gotten that much work done, for the moment, you can open the heart, because the heart is going to be open unless there's some reason you've closed it. And it starts out with the lower three chakras as far as how you close your heart. You close your heart if you're not happy with yourself, or if you're not happy with relationships with others. So people in general, people in whatever their religious backgrounds, tend to spend a lot of time finding ways to smooth themselves out. Some use meditation. Some use inspirational reading. Some use meditation on one particular being whom they feel has been able to solve the sticky problem of falling in love with oneself and being able to keep the heart open. In some religions, it's the guru. In some religions, it is um, Allah or Jesus. And in those two final religions, a lot of time it is Islam, fundamentalist Islam is going to stop everything five times a day, put his prayer rug down, get on the prayer rug, kneel down on the prayer rug, put his forehead down on the little block that is for prayer, and go through the prayer that is being led by the imam from the tower that he is closest to, that he is able to hear. And if he can't hear that, then he can often find a being within his society who is able to take him through the prayer. Or he's able to do it for himself, all by himself. For Christians, it's not necessarily as rigid. A lot of types of Christianity depend very heavily on prayer and have sometimes rigid but always ritualistic ways of praying together and worshiping together. What most entities in all religions tend to lack is an inner prayer life where nobody's leading you, there's no group prayer, there's no ritual, there's no common words. You're not expected to say this or that, but you are working on moving from the being that is, let's say, the top of the pond of yourself. You're trying to penetrate that and go from that to the deeper parts of the self until you become able to move into the essence of yourself. What is an essence? It's easiest to talk about essence in terms of flowers because you can look at a flower and see how beautiful it is, but the essence is the odor, the aroma. Be drawn or described in music or talked about in any real satisfactory way at all. And who are we as an essence? If we don't know, there's work, feel it, there's work to be done. If we think it's a silly question, there's work to be done. Because our whole lives need to be spent in moving from the very top of the pond, the very consensus reality self. Hi, how are you? I'm fine. You know, all the things that you've been trained to do, say, like manners and so forth. Down past all the layers of self, one after another, after another, after another, until finally you find the self that cannot be described, the self that cannot be spoken of. You can think of it as the way the onion is made. The onion has so many layers to it. You peel and peel and peel. And you still have lots and lots of layers of onion to go. I remember a very, very sharp, very canny, very poetic woman who was a friend of mine for a long, long time. Back when I was a young woman, who was talking with me about the idea of the onion self. And she said she felt that after she finished peeling the onion skin away, there was nothing there. She didn't feel that there was anything there except the various masks that she had learned over a period of years in her lifetime to express herself well, to do her various jobs, and to live a successful life in terms of being able to function in society. She had no confidence that there was an aroma to her sweet self. She had no feeling whatsoever that she was like a flower. And that when I thought of her, I didn't think of her beauty, although she was beautiful, very beautiful. She was Miss Kentucky the year that people went out for that in her age group. She didn't think of herself as smart, although she was incredibly intelligent and very canny, very, very sharp cat indeed. She basically denied anything of worth about herself and just said that she had learned how to get along and how to be a successful person floating along on the top of the pond. Yet I never met a woman with a stronger essence in my life. Jim, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't you agree with me?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. So there are some who miss it because they're too confident. There are some who miss it because they don't have any confidence. I simply encourage you to go from wherever you are into a genuine practice that enables you to go deeper, go deeper, go deeper, go deeper. That is my own personal mantra a lot of times. I will simply contact Holly, my name for my little flame of the Holy Spirit, and I will ask her, I says, help me to go deeper. I want to go deeper. Go deeper, go deeper. And I'll just keep saying that until I no longer am saying anything. But I am just having that feeling, and I will hold on to that as long as possible. It is, for me, a very helpful way to go deeper, because how do you know precisely how to find your essence? If there are no words for it, if there are no descriptions of it, all you can do in trying to penetrate the outer part of the self is ask, may I please penetrate the outer part of the self? May I go deeper? May I go deeper? it is a worthwhile effort because only humans can hold the space for infinity and eternity. Only you can hold that space open, that part of yourself that is consensus reality, can keep that part of consensus reality open that makes space for going deeper, moving from space-time to time-space, or to put it another way, moving from time that has movement, you know, yesterday, today, tomorrow, to time that has no movement whatsoever, now. When you can successfully penetrate now, you have become able to penetrate the gateway to an intelligent infinity. And oh, how difficult that may be. It may not be difficult for you, I don't know. Some people seem almost to have a gift for it. For most of us, we're just struggling and trying and making efforts and doing what we can. And that's fine. That's all we can do. I encourage each and every one of us to believe in ourselves. There is something there beyond what can be seen and felt and heard. There is something there beyond the silliness and the beautifulness and all of the things that can be described. There is something there beyond all that you know of yourself that moves you from this reality to infinity and eternity. And when you are there, how wonderful a gift that is. You don't have to do anything with it. It's perfectly acceptable to be there and allow that holding of the space, your donation to the service that you have come to give. Simple radiation, passive radiation of light. Being open to that and letting it just stay there. How much a gift that truly is. There are others who want to do something with that gift. It doesn't matter whether it's a big ambition, like, oh, I want to channel, or oh, I want to heal, or what people might consider a small ambition. I want to be a good mom. I want to be a good dad. I want to do my job really well. I want to be kind. How very many ways there are to serve that use those ways of expressing infinity. Whatever your ambition may be, I pray that you may be most successful and that you have a ball. Just so much fun. Just find the joy every day in doing it. because the joy is waiting just beyond the worries, just beyond the concerns, just beyond the judgment. Let those things go at least once a day. Let them go and see how it feels. Okay, Gary, I think that's all I have to say on that.
But thank you so much, Carla. Speaking of, you mentioned small ways to serve, including being kind or being a good mother. You and Jim have been excellent examples in that regard, in the simple, really simple, but difficult service of holding good cheer each and every day. It's had an effect on me, especially when my own mind weighs heavy, and that's sometimes impossible to do, just to be of good cheer and a positive disposition. So I just wanted to let you know that that is perceived and helpful. And we have a live caller who would like to ask a question from area code 385. So, caller from 385, I'm going to patch you through now.
Okay. So, thank you for taking my call.
With whom are we speaking?
This is JP from Utah calling back.
JP from Utah. Hello. Welcome to the show, JP.
Thank you.
What's your question today?
Happy New Year to everybody.
Same to you.
Happy New Year.
I'll try to keep this as short as I can, but it's kind of a long question. You guys, as far as I'm concerned, are the original team. You are the Yankees. Your information is the top of the pack from all information on this planet. And as far as I know, Ra only spoke with Carla, Don, and Jim, and then he gave some personal guidance to David Wilcock, but I think that's it. Was your encounter with Ra meant to be a once-in-a-lifetime deal on this planet with humankind? Or could you pass that torch and that ball to somebody else? Or is somebody else going to have to pick up the ball on their own? Or would it help if you scouted and tutored and taught and coached and leaned somebody towards that? Or what's the deal? Is our books
all that
we're ever
going to
get?
Everybody else up.
Okay.
Continue. From what the Ra group said, they've been looking for a group like ours for a long time. And the necessity was for a pure group, especially a pure channel, who had absolutely no ulterior motives, and a group that was absolutely without any desire except to serve. The purity, integrity, and so forth had to be very, very strong. And I have seen information that would suggest that Don, Jim, and I had at least one run-up to this incarnation when it was about 150 years ago and the West was wild, wild, wild. And I was Jim's child. The mother died quickly, I don't know whether in childbirth or soon thereafter. And Don was Jim's brother. And the brothers decided that they would raise me. I was a very sickly boy and never got over the sickness that I had when I was born. And I lived to the age of 5 and died. and they took care of me that whole time. And there's a lot to taking care of a sick infant, a sick toddler. And so there was a lot of training in unconditional love there. And, of course, there's no unconditional love like the love of a child. So I think that there was a tremendous amount of love that you don't usually see between a threesome. You might see it between a twosome. You might see it between a married couple. But how very challenging it is to see it in three people. And it worked for us. They were golden days when we worked with Ra. I don't think there's any question but that it was why we were born, why Don and I got together, why Jim got together with Don and me, because the Law of One sessions began 3 short weeks after Jim joined us. And Don and I had been together at that point since 1962. But as far as being a couple, since 1968. So from 68 to 81, we had worked as hard as we could to learn and to share information. We'd written books, we'd written screenplays, we'd made a movie. You know, we'd done a lot of things trying to get the word out. And sometimes our failures were hilarious, and sometimes they were quite beautiful. And I think in terms of Secrets of the UFO, quite successful. However, all of this together, Don and me working, sacrificing. I sacrificed my youth, my hope of having children. Don sacrificed his love of being alone, you know. So we were both sacrificing for well over a decade. But it wasn't enough to create the power to hold that very high vibration energy. And Jim provided that. So, you know, Ross said at one time that we could consider that I brought the love, Don brought the wisdom, Jim brought the power. And those three were the necessary things. Now, no matter what anybody wants to do, there will never be another Ra such as Don, Jim, and I offered, because there will never again be another Don, Jim, and Carla. The channel is not the one who presents the information. The group creates the vibration in which information can be passed. And so you'll never find that combination again. So it's useless to try to think about, oh, well, let's try to get the Law of One contact again. Plus, you have to realize that I started out weighing 110 pounds and very quickly lost down to about 80 and could not, for the life of me, gain more than 2 or 3 pounds during the whole time that I was working as channel for Ra. I lost 2 or 3 pounds in a recession. So it was difficult for me, and eventually I would have lost down to the point where one of my organs would have failed and I would have died. And I knew that. Everybody, we three all were aware of the danger of it. And quite frankly, we did not care. The joy of having one more session with those of Ra overcame everything else. And if it were mine to do again, I could not do anything one iota different, and I think that Jim can probably say that too. And I know Don would have, because Don was a very melancholy guy, and the only time I ever saw him happy, really happy, was when he was getting ready for a contact with Ra. That conversation with Ra was his happiness in this lifetime. And I am so, so thankful that I was able to offer him that, because I adored that man, as did Jim. So, you know, we just felt really good about being able to do that. Now, I do teach channeling, as I understand it. I don't know what I've left out or what I've stuck in there that's not relevant. You can't really know. I've done my very best as a researcher to hone it down to what's important and then talk about that and then try to train people in how to receive channels out of an instrument. I haven't done it lately. There's a plan to do it as soon as my health is better. Right now my health isn't not better, and we're working on that. But I can guarantee you that there will come a point when I will do another channeling intensive. And meanwhile, we recorded everything that I had to say during the first channeling intensive, and you can read it in our meetings section of Carla's niche, I think. And it's in the first channeling intensive, and it has all seven of my lectures taped and transcribed. So if anybody wants to find out what I think about channeling or to learn from me, there's every possibility that they should be able to do it, even if they can't have a channeling session with me personally. The problem with that is that you need to have a group in order to practice channeling, and when people don't listen to me about that very important point, they have so often run into great difficulty and danger. There is danger in that, and ended up in some few cases in mental illness that took a while to soothe. So, you know, there needs to be more than just meets the eye. You can't just go home and practice it.
That's right.
You can certainly go home and practice working with spirit, but going practicing outer contact, no, you need not only a group, but if at all possible, a senior channel that has done some work and knows how to protect the group while it is learning and really pretty clueless about how to protect themselves. Okay, I guess that's what I have to say about that. In other words, there's absolutely no chance of another exact Ra, because what you get depends on what you've got. You would have to have Jim, Don, and Carla in order to have more sessions just like that. Now, you can get good information, good positive information from other groups that have achieved the sacrifices and the purifications necessary to work with higher energies. I haven't seen any that go to that, you know, degree of high energy, but I have seen some very positive work and work that you could trust. It's a broader beam, you know. It's a broader energy, and you're getting broader, less specific, less. What am I trying to say, Jim?
Less precise, probably.
Yeah, less precise work. I mean, when after Don died, I knew that I should not try for more Ra contacts. I had been told that by Ra. Now, don't do that unless you have both Jim and Don as batteries, because otherwise it's dangerous. You're just going to kill yourself. So I didn't try. No matter how many people wanted me to, and believe me, they did, and they still do. I know better. But fortunately, I had come to the point after working, probably 15 years, to make the best tuning of myself that I could possibly make, so that I came into a session at my highest and best tuning. I started out by expressing my intention to serve by channeling the highest, best channel that I could possibly do in the vibration of Jesus the Christ, which was unconditional love, that was okay, Jim, what's the rest of it? I'm blanking out.
I'm not sure. How about if I add a comment here?
Okay.
I would say that it is possible that someone else or some other group could make contact with those of Ra, but paradoxically not if they try to. What really helped us the most was that we hadn't set out for a particular goal. We had simply made ourselves available if the desire to be of service in whatever way the Creator had for us. In other words, we gave over our small wills to the greater will. So I don't think it's really possible for people to decide, well, we want to channel this or that entity and then make preparations and do it. I think what we do instead, and if we want to really be effective instruments, is to open ourselves to the Creator and say, thy will be done, not my will, but thy will. And then whatever it is that is appropriate for you to do will come to you as your means of service.
That's really true. And can I get... finish what I had to say, because
yeah,
it's important, but I couldn't remember there for a minute. I would say anything that keeps me conscious and stable, that I can carry in, you know, the law of one, unconditional love, Jesus the Christ. And so I just said that every single time. And after a couple of months, I'm not sure just how long, Gary figured it out at one point, I started receiving quote from Ra, from Kuo. And after a while, it occurred to us to ask, well, who the heck are you? And they said, well, we are a principal of three groups made up of one fourth density, or the density of love, one fifth density, or the density of wisdom, and one sixth density, or the density of unity. And the sixth density was Ra, the fifth density was Latwi, and the fourth density was Hantan. So these three together would take a question, reflect upon it, and then the fifth density, it would be stepped down from the sixth density to the fifth density so that I could carry it in a conscious and stable manner without hurting myself. And that's who the Kuo vibration is made up of. So, you know, we are getting information from those of Ra, only not information in that pure and undefiled state, which is so incredibly, you know, zing, you know, like just very, very well, you know, the difference between the Ra channeling and the Kuo channeling. One is informative and only inspirational to a particular kind of person. The other is inspirational and to some extent informative, but not nearly as informative as the Ross channel. So, you know, there are some people that actually prefer the Kuo channelings. They're much easier to understand. They're much more poetic. They're much easier to read, so forth. Okay, I'm done now.
I wanted to jump in and respond to JP's question. First by saying I disagree with the comparison to the Yankees because we do not have their budget. And then I have a three-part reply I wanted to offer to this question. And the first part is that Carla mentioned about the Ra contact that you get what you got. In terms of what they received from Ra, it was proportional to or related to what the group gave to it, who the group was, the unique dynamics that was the sum total of Jim, Carla, and Don. That raises an interesting question. If Ra was ever received again, would they sound the same, or would they be different? And there's one particular answer that Ra gives in Session 39 when Don is asking about the nine who Puharic channeled, and Ra's juxtaposing that channeling to Ra's own contact. And Ra says, the desire of the scribe may be seen in much of this material to have affected the manner of its presentation. Now Ra's talking about the nine channeling. Ra goes on, just as the abilities and preferences of this group determine the nature of this contact. So if you stopped right there, it would seem exactly that it's the group that determines kind of how Ra is coming through. Of course, the group, by their questions, are determining what sort of information Ra is giving. Mm-hmm. But if you continue reading Ra's response, Ra says, the difference lies in the fact that we are as we are. Thus, we may either speak as we will or not speak at all. This demands a very tuned, shall we say, group. So I read that. My interpretation is that Ra is going to sound more or less the same, provided a group meets the prerequisites to channel them. They're going to sound pretty much the same and, of course, cater their information to the particular questions that are being asked. The second part of my reply is that Jim hit the point that I was going to make, and that's that Ra found the LL Research Group. They had been doing conscious channeling. Carla had been channeling from 1974 onward, so So by that point, she was 7 years into practicing channeling, refining protocols. Don's experiment had begun before that point. So they had no awareness of this higher level of channeling that was available. Just suddenly, Ra shows up within like a month or two of Jim having arrived on the scene. So it seems like Ra was kind of waiting for that convergence of events. But while Ra did indeed find the group, and like Jim said, you can't go out and seek Ra, nevertheless, it was Don was seeking in a certain direction, and he was, and he and the group were pushing into the unknown in a certain way, and it was that particular angle and that particular desire and trajectory that did attract Ra. So with that said, there definitely, it's a very common desire among those who read this information and fall in love with it, like myself, to hear Ra again. I feel that. Our coworker Austin feels that. And we have a hope. I don't know that it's ever going to be possible. And like Jim and Carla were indicating, it's highly, highly improbable. But there is a hope, nevertheless, that Ra could be gotten on the line again, you know, provided those preconditions, what Carla calls sacrifices and purifications, were met, including but not limited to learning the channel, having an extraordinary level of harmony among a minimum of three people with just the right chemistry who can withstand that sort of power and that light and who are seeking in this way. So the analogy that I've used before is it's like saying there will be another Beatles, you know, that right perfect combination of those particular individuals. But you never know what kind of people will come together to produce what kind of music. So I leave my heart and mind open to that possibility.
Well, all I can say is I'm just so thankful for what we got.
So are we.
Indeed. Hear, hear. Austin, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Maybe really quickly, like you and Jim both talked about how Ra was looking themselves. They mentioned a few times in the Law of One material that they had been looking for some time, so I feel like that implies that if anybody met those specifications, Ra would have come through. And so we might assume that if somebody met those specifications again, that they could come through, but we also get a sense in the Ra material, Gary and I have talked about this a little bit, that there is an ever-evolving politics to the way the Confederation interacts with humans. So they're always reassessing how exactly they want to present themselves to us and how exactly they will send information to us and how we receive them. So there's no telling whether or not a Ra contact could happen in the same way. Maybe they've reassessed their approach in a different way, and maybe there could be some sort of Ra contact that we might not even imagine in our minds could be possible, or maybe it just might not be possible to do that again because they've reassessed their approach and they might have backed off in another way like they've backed off so many times before. But there's no way to know that for sure. It's just speculation.
It is a great unknown. And the point I was making by mentioning that Don and group were seeking in a certain direction and pushing into the unknown in a certain way is that that, provided that desire is authentically and genuinely there, that can be replicated. Not, you know, as in a mirror one-to-one identical copy, but following one's own desire for the truth, one's own desire to push back into the unknown and be a spearhead back into that direction, that can happen again. And then, you know, who knows what results. Does that satisfy your question, JP?
Yes, it does. As I said, I'm just thankful for what we got. But, man, I like everybody else, we wish there could have been more.
I think everybody does. I really do. It's very difficult to be satisfied with what you have when there are so many questions that Don didn't get to. It just breaks your heart.
But at the same time, the raw material also constantly reveals itself in new ways. Every time I read through it, I find something that I had missed the previous time. And there's so much to work with there. We do want more. There's just so much that can be worked with already.
Yeah, that's true. I find that to be true. Jim and I have been reading it through over and over and over ever since we created it in the early 80s. And I'm always getting him, he's the one that reads it, I'm always getting him to say, hang on, read that again. I don't think I've gotten that one before. Could you read that again? You know, it blows your mind. Why didn't I hear that the last, you know, dozen times that we've been through that? But I think it's because it meets you where you are.
Right.
And you're always evolving. You're always, you know, on that spiral towards the light. And you're not the same person that you were the last time. I mean, you're spiraling ever upwards, and you're on a spiral. And in that, you know, you're the same person, but you're not at the same point on the spiral. So it keeps meeting you where you are.
Is everybody still there?
I'm still here.
My phone, uh-oh.
I hear some clicking.
Yep.
I am still here.
My phone started giving me a busy signal for some reason, so I hopped on the house phone, and the phone just got disconnected, but the show is going, thank God. My phone is the host line. But anyway, JP, we will say goodbye to you, and thank you so much for calling in. And it's 1:58, so I think we'll wrap up the show now. You've been listening to LL Research's In the Now Q&A with Carla and crew. If you've enjoyed the show, please visit our website, llresearch.org, and bringforth.org. Thanks so much for listening, and a special thank you to those who submitted questions. In this case, JP, thank you. If you'd like to submit a question for us before the next show, please read the instructions on our page at blogtalkradio.com/LLResearch. Have a wonderful week, everybody. We'll be here next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk with you then.
And we love you all.